digging in the dirt. I'm digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
Welcome. My guest today on Digging in the Dirt is Ryland Engelhardt. Ryland is the co-founder and executive director of Kiss the Ground. Kiss the Ground has become a premier online educational hub for regenerative agriculture, offering an online pathway for anyone to find resources and their unique way forward in contributing to the expanding global movement. In addition, Ryland is the host of Kiss the Ground's We Can Do This podcast, and now he has a new feature documentary called Kiss the Ground, which has premiered on Netflix this past September 22nd. It is narrated by Woody Harrelson. The film parallels the Kiss the Ground organization's mission to awaken people to the possibilities of regenerating our planet's environment by taking care of the soil. Welcome, Ryland.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's an honor to be here with you. Really appreciate it.
Well, I just saw the film and we have a lot to talk about. Tell us how the son of a very successful vegan restaurateur in California with the Cafe Gratitude, ended up co-founding a very ambitious organization to reverse climate change through changing the way we manage our farmlands and soil. And now you're preparing a major new film on the subject on Netflix.
Yeah, the last 15 years of my life, I've been working in the restaurant business as a restaurateur in conjunction and in partnership with my family, with my father. And really, you know, I would say I definitely am standing on the shoulders of giants. Of my parents are amazing, inspirational human beings in their own right, both my mom and father. They've always been ambitious. They've always seen dreams, visions, and followed that up with dedicated action and brought things powerfully into reality. Being their child, they really taught me about our life is a picture of our mind, and what we can imagine in our mind, we can create in reality. Yeah, my life and my idea and dream around Kiss the Ground was really fulfilled based on seeing my parents fulfill big, foolish projects in their minds, and then they turned into reality. There's actually a Rumi quote that says, "Start some big, foolish project like Noah." And so Kiss the Ground is my big foolish project of that there is a way, a pathway, a remembered way that we can heal and regenerate our planet if human beings work in partnership with nature to heal our soil, heal our ecology, and we can actually be a beneficial presence on the planet versus a degenerative presence, which is what we mostly are to date.
Yeah, on your website, you say the mission of Kiss the Ground concerns one of the planet's most ubiquitous but imperiled resources, soil. Poor land management has rapidly depleted the viability of the planet's topsoil, which supplies 95% of the humanity's food. And in the last 150 years, about half the planet's topsoil has been lost. Experts say we have about 60 years of viable topsoil. So the mission of your organization is to do what, and what, how does the film figure into that?
Well, as we all know, that change takes place. Our actions change once we have moments of awakening and awareness. You know, oftentimes that awakening and awareness comes from tragedy, loss, crisis. And we are at a crisis moment in our human history. And many scientists agree that we're heading into the sixth mass extinction. As the United Nations said, we have about 55 years left, because that article that said 60 years was maybe 5 or 6 years old. We're at a crisis moment. And the opportunity that I saw as an individual about 8 years ago was this idea that, you know, regeneration was possible, that we could go beyond sustainability, and that we could have a regenerative land management practice called regenerative agriculture, which is ancient, but also, you know, new in its global scale, relevance, and integration with agriculture. And that through that regenerative agriculture, we could have this healing effect. And I, for whatever reason, saw in my heart and mind had a moment in life. It was a kind of a revelation moment where I really saw this was possible, and I saw that it could be part of a collective awakening. And so for 7 years, I've been working on how to create and inspire this collective awakening or awareness of regeneration as a possibility and a solution for how humanity can go forward at a moment when it feels like there's a lot of apathy, depression, defeat, hopelessness. And so I've always had the personality and the intention to lead with possibility versus leading with problem. And so really Kiss the Ground, the organization, for 7 years have been building content, short form media, educational curriculum, courses, classes, and building a communications company, a storytelling company that really shares these stories of how we can regenerate our soil and how we can do regenerative agriculture. And the Kiss the Ground film is really the biggest, boldest, best expression of that communication to date that we've put out. And that's in partnership with two amazing filmmakers, Josh and Rebecca Takal, who made Fuel, which is a film that won at Sundance 10 years ago. So the film, yes, comes out the 22nd of September, globally translated into 25 languages, into 186 million homes, I believe. It's an exciting moment to be alive and to see this dream coming into reality.
Yeah, you know, in Kiss the Ground, you have produced a world-class documentary. It's a great production quality, has great spokespeople. It has Woody Harrelson, has many stars that attract attention. I think the facts are irrefutable and easily accessible. I mean, it's explained very simply. And then you offer some solutions also, but other than Netflix, I'll hazard a guess that you're not going to get this aired on any kind of mainstream media. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I'd like to know that. So my question is, how do you see us getting this message out to the public at large that still doesn't get it? Because the message is always buried, really, before it gets out.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, obviously we included a lot of high-profile ambassadors in the film so that we can use, you know, their audience to spread the word about this film. Obviously, social media plays a such a big part. And with the main characters in the film that are featured, you know, I think we have somewhere like 50 million to 80 million followers on all the social media platforms based on those people who are, you know, in the film. But really, you know, this is a grassroots effort. You know, obviously it's on Netflix. We have, you know, some big social media ambassadors, but our goal is to, over the next 24 to 48 months, put on hundreds, even thousands of screenings on farms, and ranches all over the world, where we would host outdoor screenings, you know, at a time when people don't want to be close to each other because of, you know, the pandemic, bringing people to healthy, clean outdoor environments, farms and ranches, to host screenings of this film where people can become aware of this new story, this new narrative, this new solution. And then at the same time, they can be getting to know a farmer in their community at that screening who is potentially serving food that really is coming from a regenerative food system. So they can not only have this awareness, but then they can have a really great relationship that they can start building with a farmer who's producing food that they can integrate into their, you know, purchasing habits to start supporting farmers and ranchers that are doing agriculture that supports building soil and, you know, helping regenerate our planet and taking carbon out of the atmosphere and putting it back in the soil where it once came from and belongs.
We're talking to Ryland Englehart, who is a co-founder and executive director of Kiss the Ground, and we're talking about the brand new film Kiss the Ground that's come out, narrated by Woody Harrelson. You know, on your site, you say you're partnering to achieve your 2025 goals. By 2025, you have some goals, which is to transition 5,000 farmers and train 25,000 leaders. So what do you mean by transitioning 5,000 farmers to start?
Yeah, so we have a program called the Farmland Program. It's one of our three programs that Kiss the Ground is focused on. And it is a program that offers farmers who are interested and desiring to make a change, they can apply for a scholarship, and we pay for the technical training of an in-person or an online course with some of the most amazing regenerative agricultural educators and farmers and ranchers So it takes that farmer through a technical in-person or online training course. We then offer up to 3 years of mentorship through a consultant or a mentor that has some expertise in regenerative agriculture and helping resource farmers and ranchers with resources for, you know, making that transition, and then providing those farmers and ranchers soil testing at year one and at year three so that they can understand the transformation that's taking place beneath their feet in the soil, and they can start to see the impacts of the new practices that are being implemented and practiced. Our goal is to have 5,000 farmers that have come through and are participating in our farmland transition program.
Is that because you think that that is going to be enough, or is going to be a good start at making the transition?
You know, again, no, we need hundreds of thousands, even millions of farmers that are seeing this trend and this direction of regenerative agriculture is the way forward. This is just the bit of the iceberg that we're working on. That, you know, we obviously see that the way that change happens is you get people inspired, they become anchors in communities, and then those individuals inspire and create this trophic cascade effect, which we see in ecosystem function when a keystone species is playing its rightful role. You know, they can create this positive impact that cascades into their community. So if we're responsible for 5,000 farmers that are, you know, taking on this transition and are successfully becoming more profitable, more resilient to drought, more resilient to changing weather patterns, less chemicals on their land, more diversity in their income, they're doing something that has, you know, has them a sense of like dignity and purpose, and their children want to be, you know, participating in what they're doing because they're doing something, you know, beyond just a monoculture of, you know, chemical ag. You know, these are all kind of the things that we start to see when farmers are taking on a transition to regenerative agriculture. There's the economic, there's the environmental, there's there's the social, there's the human health component, there's the sense of, you know, human beings when they see land and life coming back into more abundance, that's inspiring at the most basic human level. So those 5,000 that we're taking on being responsible for, we hope and see that those will inspire and continue to inspire many other organizations, as well as other farmers, corporations, governments. You know, we're working on many fronts to create change. This is just one of our kind of top line stated goals of 5,000 farmers. And then as far as for the 25,000 leaders, we have a program that we're very proud of, inspired by. It was created, co-created by the co-founder Finian Makepeace of Kiss the Ground, who's one of my childhood friends. We grew up together, and we also co-created this organization. And he created a course called the Soil Advocacy Training Course, which basically, when we heard about soil and its potential as a solution to so many of our challenges as humanity, we thought, well, how do we duplicate ourselves? How do we create advocates and ambassadors and the voice of the regenerative movement? And so we created a program that really takes, you know, any individual, whether you're a student, a teacher, you know, somebody who works in government, a farmer, you know, someone who works in a sustainability department in a corporation, and you wanted to really understand how regenerative agriculture works, the impact that it potentially has, you know, the facts, the figures, the best talking points. And if you even go out the course with a personalized presentation that you can start giving in whatever context or environment of life that you kind of dwell in and navigate in. So we've trained over 3,000 people in 25 countries over the last 2 years. And we're just relaunching the soil advocacy training as an evergreen kind of masterclass style course that tens of thousands of people can participate in simultaneously. It has an unlimited capacity for participation. So that course goes live on the website. There's already a waiting list. I think we have almost 2,000 people signed up just on the waiting list to participate in the course.
Very cool. So
please, yeah, if you're inspired about what you're hearing, please take the soil advocacy training course. because it really allows people to be powerful advocates for such a powerful solution that affects everyone. And we all eat and we can all participate in this revolution, but we have to be informed, inspired, and connected to the reality of it and the facts and figures of it so that we can feel confident to be the voice. So that's what the course provides.
So we should dive in here a little bit on particulars, because we need to sort of define the problem as you see it, and then we can get to the solutions as you see it. There's three concepts we should go over real quick if we could, because we have limited time, and that is desertification, regenerative agriculture, and biosequestration. Those three, you know, follow each other. I mean, what's the first one is the problem, right?
Yeah, desertification. So in the film, there's a powerful moment where there's a NASA image that circles one third of our global topsoil and arable land that's been used historically for agriculture has been completely desertified. There's areas like the fertile, you know, one of the birthplaces of agriculture, and was a savanna, and is now a complete desert. So yes, there is deserts that are naturally occurring or have occurred, you know, prior to kind of human impact, but most of or much of the desertification around planet Earth has come from managing land poorly, with poor grazing practices, you know, cutting, deforestation, not replanting, improper grazing of animals, irrigation, putting salts into the soils, and so the soil is completely dying. We've completely, agriculture since the dawn of agriculture, and even more so since the Green Revolution, we're destroying our topsoil, and it's happening at a, you know, a global scale. There's a beautiful quote, which is that a nation that destroys their soil destroys themselves. And, you know, we are doing that at a global scale. And, you know, as you said in the beginning, the United Nations says, you know, the loss of topsoil and desertification and the destruction of the topsoil, you know, giving us about 55 more crops left on the world's agricultural land that is providing 95% of the food, is a huge problem. That's really, you know, the scale of what the film is showing is that we have degenerated our soils. We've turned a lot of agricultural land into desert, and it looks irreversible. But it is irreversible inside of a sustainability lens or a sustainability framework. But when you see the possibility of how we can regenerate soils much quicker than we've ever thought before through regenerative practices of agriculture, the integration of, you know, animal livestock in adaptive or holistic grazing, silvopasture practices, agroforestry practices, you know, no-till agriculture, using, you know, integration of cover crops in agriculture, all these practices that can start to become integrated can actually desertify, can actually regenerate and heal soils that have been so badly broken and destroyed that it feels like there's no reverse. And in the film, there's the Lewis Plateau in China. I think it's 44,000 square miles over a 14-year period were completely regenerated from no life, no plants, no trees, to completely regenerated back to a fertile world, which brought, you know, as the film says, hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, because when you have, you know, poor soil and no ability to produce food, then, you know, there's no sustenance for the communities and the societies that are living on that land. Yeah, so that's a little bit, you know, the desertification thing. So that was the first topic. What was the second and third you were saying?
Yeah, regenerative agriculture. And that's how we're going to change this around.
Yes, exactly. So as I stated, the sustainability framework to just sustain, so many systems that have been completely degenerated and destroyed with the, you know, land that has an inability to produce food and sustain life, we can't sustain that broken system. We have to regenerate. And so that's why regenerative agriculture is such a paradigm shift and a new perspective and a new possibility, because it really takes, you know, things that have been broken and look, you know, irreparable, that they actually can be repaired, that we can actually heal and regenerate. And, you know, the added value benefits that come from regenerative agriculture beyond just, you know, making soil be able to produce food or produce life again, you know, it actually heals the bigger cycle of life, you know, that interacts with that land, whether it's to do with, you know, water. In the film, you learn about that water, the small water cycle, you know, 40% of our rain comes from the small water cycle, meaning that land that is no longer having green things, photosynthesizing plants, trees, grasses, then you denude that, you desertify that, then you actually stop the rain from falling. So then you exacerbate the problem. But when you can actually regenerate and start putting you know, photosynthesizing plants back on land, you actually start to generate more water and more rain, and the system starts to ramp up. And the same thing is true for the soil or water getting back into our aquifers. When we have soil that's been regenerated and healed, the soil can actually infiltrate that water, and that can get back and recharge our aquifers, can recharge and, you know, bring streams, you know, flowing, that streams that have been not flowing for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you start regenerating land around that stream bed, there's actually becomes a water infiltration, and you start to have streams and springs coming back. So it's really such a miraculous process when you, human beings, start focusing on how we can bring life back to the land and make the land function in its natural design, its natural architecture, and supporting its natural architecture.
And, yeah, you know, the film also is very clear about biosequestration, where that by covering the land again, the plants are actually taking carbon out of the atmosphere, which we've been putting in since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And from what the film said, it's the fact that we could put all the wind and solar power and everything possible out there, but it's still not going to take the carbon out of the atmosphere that's been there for so many centuries.
That's right. Yeah. So that, you know, Bill McKibben says that very eloquently. He says, you know, most industry in its best case scenario can get to carbon neutral in its best case, but agriculture has the ability to have the reversal effect and actually, you know, draw that carbon down. And since the beginning of plants coming out of the ocean onto land, and they started to photosynthesize and, you know, having roots and building into the soil, what we didn't know, we know trees pull carbon out of the atmosphere and build their trunks from that carbon that was in the atmosphere, and then it becomes the, you know, carbon that builds the trunk of the tree. But what we didn't really remember or know or really understand is that somewhere between 30 and 60% of the carbon sugars that are being, you know, converted from all plants and trees are being shared and sent into the soil and being fed to microorganisms. And those microorganisms are eating those carbon sugars, and that becomes stable carbon humus, soil organic matter, that becomes in that soil, and that becomes that sequestered, biosequestered carbon that used to be in the atmosphere. It's now in the soil. And really, you know, in a beautiful kind of way, we can take the problem of too much carbon in the atmosphere and turn it into this carbon glue that actually heals and glues our soil back together and aggregates our soil such that it can become alive, healthy, and produce healthy plants, which ultimately lead to healthy animals and humans.
So this is gets us to the spot that you're in of why you chose to deal with the soil. Because a lot of people out there might be going, I don't get it. Why are we changing farmers' habits? You know, we've got cars running around polluting. We got all this pollution going on. We have big oil. I mean, why concentrate here? And in the film, we get to a guy who's, I guess, the agriculture minister of France, André Lou, who says that there's a 4 for 1,000 solution that could make significant changes and be the most significant change agriculture could offer the planet. You want to touch on why that is part of the solution?
Yes, this was an announcement, an initiative that was launched in 2015. We were in France at COP21, the climate change conference. And basically it was an initiative that the French Minister of Ag that basically became a global invitation for countries to sign on. And it's basically stating that for every annually, if countries that are in, you know, have, you know, big agricultural sectors, if they can be sequestering 0.4% soil organic matter, if they can be building that amount of soil organic matter on their agricultural soils annually, that they can be mitigating and balancing the amount of carbon that the industry is releasing back into the atmosphere. So I think the number was based on France's amount of carbon that they are releasing annually, that if they can be building their soil organic matter by 0.04% annually, that can balance that amount that they're putting out through industry. But again, it's all symbols and statements and commitments that are moving us closer and giving more validity and more power and more credibility to this soil solution that we're so passionate about reminding people and remembering, you know, having be seen and accepted on the global climate change conversation. There's another notable piece of sort of science data that is powerful for people to check out. There's a book called Project Drawdown that was edited and put together by an environmentalist journalist named Paul Hawken. And it was called The 100 Most Substantive Solutions to Global Warming. And out of the top 25 solutions, 11 of those were all land management practices. And even the concept of draw down is, you know, this idea of how can we draw carbon down into our plants and trees and the way that we're managing land and agriculture so that we can actually sequester that carbon. Because as you said, we absolutely need to reduce emissions drastically, but the 415 plus or minus parts per million that are already up in the atmosphere, our legacy load, needs to be sequestered, needs to be, you know, drawn back down. And since the beginning of time, plants and trees have been doing that. And, you know, our current agricultural system has just been at odds and defeating that attempt that plants and trees are to balance the climate. We just need to start seeing that we can help our plants and trees in our agricultural system be part of that solution.
We're talking to the co-founder and executive director of Kiss the Ground, Ryland Inglehart, and he has a new film that is debuting called Kiss the Ground, and it deals with a lot of these subject matters and in great detail and a lot of times and a lot of fun too. But I want, before we get to a little bit more about the film, how is it that when you have the U.S., China, and India not participating in some of these things we've been talking about, and then you also have big ag and big chem and big oil, not to mention the problem of ignorant government leaders controlled by their lobbyists, how are we going to move the pieces? You know, how are we going to get this thing to get some momentum before we reach a tipping point?
We have no idea. You know, we're all part of a grand experiment, and this is to me the most hopeful, and you know, it's the biggest opportunity. And my job is to get the story and the narrative and the message out there, and hope that people take to it. And in my experience, people are really, really inspired by this solution, and it's getting more and more traction. And so, you know, it's not going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be one sector that's going to, you know, tip the scales. But I think, you know, we're working, you know, with people, you know, at a local level in, you know, the state of California, you know, agricultural secretary of ag, and we're working with people at a national policy level around, you know, agriculture. We're working at a, you know, public perception and a public opinion perspective with this film coming out and, you know, getting lots of people excited about regenerative agriculture and wanting to vote with their dollars for, you know, farms and agriculture that's helping, you know, solve this problem. You know, we're working with farmers who right now farmers are, you know, the income of farmers is less now than it was 14 years ago. It's one of the highest occupations of suicide. Things aren't going well for farmers nationally and internationally. The idea that big ag and, you know, the chemical companies and the seed companies that have been promoting kind of the green revolution, conventional agriculture, chemical agriculture, you know, it requires farmers to get more land, more chemicals, more input costs, more herbicides, more fungicides, more pesticides. And, you know, they're in a soup of toxins. They're needing to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and margins are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it really is such a tough industry and business. You know, there is a crisis moment need for transformation. So I believe that if we can get this notion of that there's another way out there, people are going to start finding their way to, you know, making this transition, not necessarily from an altruistic or from an environmental perspective, but simply from it makes good business sense.
Right, right. That's why it was great to see the rock star of regenerative farming, Gabe Brown's story in the film. He's tremendous. I mean, he talks to farmers, right? And farmers listen because he's successful. He's a businessman and he's making money doing it the right way.
That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of, we always have to be careful as advocates and educators and enthusiasts about soil and regenerative agriculture. You know, we're not farmers. We are not, we don't have the lexicon, the credibility, the experience. So really it's about empowering and giving voice to people such as Gabe Brown, Ray Archuleta, Donica, Markegaard, you know, these amazing individuals who are doing this at a, you know, they're doing this at scale, and they have the experience and the credibility and the track record, and allowing them to be the voices to integrate and to be training and to educating and touching farmers' lives.
Right. Ray Archuleta has been a guest here on this show. And, you know, it was great to see him there because he's so impressive as like salt of the earth. You know, he's able to reach farmers because he is a farmer. He teaches farmers. They know him and they listen because he's talking their language. It's great that he's such a major participant in this film, I thought.
Yeah, no, I just was talking to him yesterday or the day before because he's part he's part of the Global Watch Party panel that we did on opening night on Netflix. We have all the farmers, experts, celebs, you know, on this live, beautiful panel moderated with the filmmakers, Josh and Rebecca Tikal, sharing and having kind of a live dialogue online with everybody who's seen the film and inspiring other people to see the film as well. Yeah, Ray's voice and his message is just so powerful. And, you know, we actually have the same birthday, June 9th.
Oh, cool. And Geminis. So
Geminis.
Me too.
Oh, really?
June 1st.
June 1st. Oh, wow, that's cool. That's my son's birthday. Oh, beautiful.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, I also love a lot of the different people in there, but the one that made me laugh really out loud was Patricia Arquette. I had no idea she was doing such great stuff in Haiti and that she's doing this Keep the Poop in the Loop. It's just hilarious, you know, to see all this stuff that she's doing and with such meaning for those people.
Yeah, Patricia's amazing. She's a whippersnapper, a firecracker. She's powerful. And yeah, brings some comedy and some humor and powerful work. Yeah, she's doing amazing, amazing work. I really admire her. I'm so glad she was in the film. Yeah, bringing that basic understanding that forever, our poop has always been the fertilizer for the next thing to grow, whether it's, you know, humans or animals or, you know, all of life. You know, nature's architecture is regenerative. To think that it's, you know, something has to stay out of the loop is not part of nature's architecture. So, yeah, I loved her section in the film. She's awesome.
Yeah, the film's got lots to offer, and I highly recommend people going to Netflix and seeing it. It's called Kiss the Ground, and it's narrated by Woody Harrelson. Before we wrap this all up, Ryland, let's talk to the people out there. Okay, what can we do? You know, we're suburbanites, or we live in an urban environment. Rural is a little bit easier, you know, to make some changes in this regard. But what are those suburban people and the urban people? What can they do right away? And I have a feeling it's sort of tied in with food waste.
Yeah. So there's, you know, we have kind of top five things to do. The first thing we're telling people to do is go to kisstheground.com and find your path. It's basically a way that you can go and type in your interests in life and into like kind of a feedback loop search engine. And it comes back with three or four or five different activities or actions that you can do to support the regenerative movement and help rebuild soil. So first thing to do is go to find your path and type in your interest and get the results and take some actions from there. So that's the first thing. Second thing is start figuring out where your food's coming from and start purchasing food that's helping build soil. We have a purchasing guide at kisstheground.com, which can help you with how to purchase and supporting food. There's the ROC, Regenerative Organic Certification, coming out to guide brands and companies that are doing regenerative practices. But really just, you know, going to farmers markets and finding out how your farmers are tending to their soil and start supporting and buying food from farmers that are building topsoil.
Yeah. Here we always say vote with your dollars. I heard you say that too, but I think you also say more choose your food to make change.
Yes, absolutely. Purchasing for the planet. And the third thing is compost. Yeah, obviously people have been, you know, known about compost for a long time, but it really is an amazing way that human beings can be involved in cycling nature back to nature and participating in a regenerative effect on the planet. When we put food waste in the landfill, it turns into methane gas and exacerbates the problem. If we put food waste back into the ground, it helps create fertility for new things to grow. It's that simple. So figure out how to compost. Also, we're always encouraging people to start to grow something. Plant a little garden, plant a fruit tree, plant something and watch it grow, tend to it, care for life. It's a powerful learning and beautiful, gratifying experience. So we're always encouraging that. And then, you know, share, go to Kiss the Ground. We put out 60 short films about regenerative agriculture. So share our content, become an ambassador for Kiss the Ground. And share the content. And then, you know, next is if you want to support farmers, we have a program that allows you can donate $5, $10, $20. And that money can go directly to helping farmers make this transition.
Very cool.
So that's another way to get involved. And then the last thing, I mentioned this earlier in the broadcast, but become a soil advocate. Take our soil advocacy training course. We have discounts. We have scholarships. If you can't afford it, really, there shouldn't be a barrier. If you're inspired about this message, you want to participate and become a voice and an advocate for this movement, you know, reach out to Kiss the Ground, and we'll get you on your path. So,
well, sounds good. I mean, this is you've chosen a big bite of the apple, but looks like you got some real interesting ways of going about it. I read that you said that we are at a critical moment in human history. There could be a way to eat food that heals the planet.
That's right. That the kind of big aha moment when I realized that regenerative agriculture had the potential and possibility that I was being shown. And I thought, wow, this is really something that everyone who eats can participate in, because we all want healthy food for ourselves and for our families. And if we could choose healthy food for our bodies that was also healthy for our environments and healthy for our soil and healthy for our animals and healthy for our farmers, that really is such a, you know, win-win-win opportunity. And, you know, I just got that there is a way that everyone who eats could participate in this transformation and in this revolution. You know, that's really what the call is that, you know, we start realizing that the way we eat is shaping the future of our planet, and we can design our plate in a way that helps regenerate or degenerate the future of our world. That's the call to action.
Very good. We've been talking to Ryland Engelhardt, co-founder and executive director of Kiss the Ground, the organization, and they also have a brand new documentary film out called Kiss the Ground, narrated by Woody Harrelson, with loads and loads of great information very clearly and succinctly put out there. You may want to check it out. Thank you so much for coming on, Ryland. I wish you all the best. You're a dynamo, man. You're getting it done.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And yeah, really, this is at a moment when there's a lot of apathy and hopelessness, this film has inspiration, possibility, and a real potential for how we can go forward as a collective society, world together. Soil is our common ground, and may we come together on this topic, and may we heal and regenerate our planet. And please go see the film on Netflix, and yeah, have a great, great rest of your day.
Thank you, Ryland Engelhardt.